This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Take this woman as your lawful wedded wife.
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed.
Hello, and welcome to With This Ring. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
I'm Cindy Everett.
And welcome to With This Ring number 20.
Wow.
20th edition, and we're going to continue the GWCW wrestler profile, and this time we're going to look at Flying Brian Pillman.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but...
I was going to tell you.
He played
the Cincinnati Bengals.
Really? I had no idea.
I was thinking about this earlier today. I was truly going to say that I enjoyed this month, and this is somebody I had not heard of until we started watching our WCW matches. We watched a Hollywood Blondes match versus, you probably remember, but then Ric Flair and someone else.
I think it was against Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas, version of the match we watched.
That's right.
On this poll. Yeah.
That's right. That was my first exposure to Brian Pillman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you had heard of him before.
Well, I watched lots of throwback Bengals games.
Right,
I
always
stand with him from there.
Right.
But no, this was my, like I said, kind of first exposure to him, and really good.
Okay, good.
Did he ever fight in WWE?
Very briefly, before he died.
Oh.
He died while in WWF.
Really?
Yeah.
I know you mentioned he had passed away, but we didn't really talk about when and the circumstances.
Yeah, so...
It's not a happy story?
No, not really.
Oh.
I mean, we could get to that
in
the end, because we'll kind of go
Wrap
through his
up.
Career, yeah.
All right, fair enough.
So...
Let's talk about the beginnings.
Yes, the happy fun beginning.
Happy beginnings.
So, he came in 1989.
Okay.
And then we watched from Halloween Havoc 1989, a United States title match, him versus Lex Luger.
Mm-hmm.
And there he was just kind of like the upstart,
plucky
new guy. Just jumping around. And I really like this match. I think it's a really good big man versus little guy match.
But they were pretty similar physiques. I don't think there was one like...
I think Lex Luger outweighed him by like 50 pounds.
Oh, jeez. Wow, I'm really bad at gauging that.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
They're both kind of the same, like, beefy
physique.
Yeah, I wrote they had the same physiques and similar styles. And Brian bought cheerleaders with him.
Yes. Well, because he's a football player. Again.
Why did they play up that angle so much?
I think, like... Just to kind of make them stand out, but they kind of mentioning it once or twice is one thing, but then, they ended up mentioning it every single match.
Yes, they really did. We can attest to that.
And I do think at the beginning, when he first started out, he did not have much of a personality, so they kind of needed something to talk about, but like later, as he goes along, they could have steered away from it.
Right. They didn't have to keep mentioning it after he built up
his
repertoire. Especially when he was like feuding with Ric Flair, when he was with Steve Austin. They didn't really need to keep belaboring that.
And so the thing about this, Lex Pillman was a face.
Okay.
Like pretty boy face kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in Philadelphia, which is noted for not liking pretty boy faces.
Oh, really?
So he actually gets booed a little bit. Whereas Lex Luger was a big-time heel, but gets cheered.
Well, that's Philadelphia for
right, you. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I said this was good. I was impressed. A lot of drop kicks, which you have to be really strong to do that. I just can't imagine. clean match, a lot of big moves and combos, and it was a flash pin, so I think this is one where I had you rewind the ending.
Right, I think it's a stun gun, like you picked him up and dropped him. Throat first.
You'd have to remember. You're in charge of remembering the exact moves.
Well, drops your throat first, and that brings up another constant theme that, especially with Jim Ross, he would always bring up how Brian Pillman had 30 surgeries as a child.
Oh, he did?
On his throat, yeah.
Oh, I honestly missed that.
Really? Maybe it's just... Maybe I like I knew about that, so anytime I heard it, I like thought it was being overplayed.
So what happened?
So when he was young, he had like polyps in his throat, and he needed surgeries to remove them, and kind of needed surgery, like multiple surgery. Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
And the documentary was saying the first time he was like 3 and needed like an emergency tracheotomy. Yeah, I'm like a doctor's like house's table. Like she called his doctor who lived like down the block, and he said like, "You need to bring him to my house right now."
Wow.
And performed it, and that was like the first of many, many surgeries.
Wow. No, yeah. I didn't know that. That's something that interesting they could have talked about. No,
he was on the Cincinnati Bengals.
So. Wow, one of those is a lot more compelling to me anyways. So, no, good match. You know, kind of, I think this is the representation of his early career. Very tight, curly mullet.
Yes, yes. I also noted on my phone that there was a guy in a mailman hat and a Hawaiian shirt.
Okay.
And if we ever get to ECW... There's like there's 4 or 5 ECW fans that are there every show, and one of them is known as Straw Hat Guy. Apparently, before he got a straw hat, he had a mailman's hat.
Well, he upgraded.
I don't know if he
ECW.
I don't know if he was a mailman and
got
was
fired from going to wrestling too much,
or you know, he parlayed all of his mailman fortunes into getting a nice straw hat.
Probably got a nice pension.
Yeah, maybe.
So, good for him.
Yeah, it was nice to see him, though, in a different environment.
I hope that's, like, the 5th iteration of this after...
Yeah, well...
There's probably a lot of other things we could do before we got to Greatest Fans of ECW.
Well, it wouldn't be the Greatest Fans. It would just be the ECW matches, and you would see him in every one.
Right. So, he'd become kind of the character. So, okay. And then next, we watched from 1990...
Yep.
Brian Pillman versus Ric Flair.
Yep.
And the crowd is pumped up.
Yes.
And the ladies love Brian Pillman here.
Except for a woman, of course.
Yes, except for a woman. Can you explain woman real quickly?
So, she comes and goes. That's Nancy Benoit, who would eventually be involved in that. But she has, like, a weird chronology in WCW. She's there in, like, 1989. She starts as, like, a nerdy fangirl.
Hmm.
And then she, like, becomes woman who's, like, out to get... every man who was against, you know, who didn't pay her attention.
Oh.
And, of course, this interests Ric Flair, the ultimate ladies' man.
Right.
So they get together, and she becomes kind of a manager for the Four Horsemen, but she's not there very long with them. It's kind of an odd thing. And then she's, like, gone pretty soon.
Hmm.
So it's kind of an odd thing there. I think it has to do with who was in charge, and there's a lot of turnover with the booking committee at this time, so
kind of shows
if she fell out of favor.
She was kind of like the first to kind of go.
Yeah.
All right.
So back and forth. This was kind of like it kind of goes hand in hand with the Lex Luger match, where this was like Pillman trying to prove himself.
Yeah.
And he does get quite a few. Hits in. He has the one, like, fake pinfall where woman, I think, rakes at his eyes or something to
she kind of smacks him in the face and Flair gets in a cheap shot. Then Ryan, he shoots his name, Flying Brian. He has a couple moves off the ropes.
Yep.
Which, always impressed. But then he did try to hit the crossbody and Ric Flair
rolled through it. Yes. Yep,
reversed it and won.
Yep.
See, that one I took a note on the ending.
Yep. There you go.
But yeah, this is good.
Yeah, this is a good, like, I mean, it's a great match for Brian Pillman, but it's also a good example of Ric Flair, like, having a title match where he cheats, but he doesn't, like, but in the end, he ends up winning because he is the better
wrestler. That's true. He cheated, but that didn't really result in him winning.
Right. Like,
yeah.
He'll cheat just because that's what he does. But,
well, that's what they all do.
Yeah, but especially
I think by now I've kind of learned that most of the matches involve cheating. So now I'm like more surprised when there's not cheating.
Right. And in the end...
it depends on what era we're watching, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in the end, though, it's just he's the better wrestler still.
Yeah.
And wins by legally rolling him up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good example of like a Ric Flair match. Not where you have to watch, you know, a 25-minute pay-per-view match where there will be a bunch of shenanigans.
Right, that influence the outcome.
Right.
Yeah, no, this is a good one. Kind of moving Yeah, through his... I guess, what's the perception of Billet Brian Pillman? Because 1990 still would have been relatively new.
Yeah, he was still new, and it was kind of... Well, this was kind of a weird period because... So right before this, they were setting up Sting versus Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. It was going to be Sting's big push to win the title. But then Sting blew out his knee climbing a cage.
Oh, that's right.
And got pulled down. So then it was kind of thought of, who are they going to have fight Ric Flair? Was it going to be Brian Pillman or Lex Luger? Or they ended up going with Lex Luger. But they had, Brian Pillman was kind of like third in line, probably, of baby faces that could have been pushed there. So they were kind of pushing him, but not all the way. Like, they kind of kept half-starting his big push, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not going to work out too well.
Right. So then we go ahead to Super Bowl II, which is in 1992. Works nicely with the Super Bowls.
Well, yeah, you can't get your Super Bowls confused. Well, they didn't use Roman numerals either, so.
Well, they did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
As I was saying,
two,
that,
there's
I was
not
like,
too much. I mean,
true. Four is the first tricky one.
Yeah.
So this is Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yep.
Versus Pillman. Lots of good combinations. Not a lot of high flying. And this one, I think I even said this to you while we were watching it, almost felt a little choreographed.
Yeah.
To me,
I could see. Yeah, this is for the light heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's definitely more.
I don't know, like, I feel like anything that combination that's longer than two moves feels like it's like a dance step.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, my one woman's opinion.
Yes.
What did you think?
I liked it. I mean, it was always, like, brought up. Like, it's one of those early matches that were always brought up as, like, a great pay-per-view match that, like, even, I mean, WCW didn't do it anywhere near like WWF did, but, like, when they'd have pay-per-view compilations and stuff, this was always one that they put on there, even when neither guy was really in the company. They still decided, like, to highlight that match.
Yeah, no, it is very good. And then, who ends up splitting, though? Oh, yeah, I wrote Brian Pillman wins on a weird bridge move.
Yeah, he, like,
really picture it
rolls
now.
Him up, and then, instead of just laying on top, he, like, bridges
That's
his back
right.
over
yeah.
to make sure that
once again, little like lots of little like extra flares.
Yes, yes, I could see
on it.
That criticism. So also, I should note, the highest match in my poll for Ryan Pillman we watched before, it is the 1991 War Games match.
Oh, okay.
Where Sid Vicious
kills
him
God.
With the power
bomb.
Oh,
no. No, I like the awful.
The thing is, that, like, it's kind of hard to say, like, how much a guy's involved in a War Games match. Like, is it his best match? But he's, like, starts
like,
that match.
That. He
he's,
gets that.
like, diving in to start the match. He's in it the whole time, and then eventually he is part of the end.
Oh, God. Yeah, that poor guy. I forgot that was him. I mean, I remember watching that and being like, don't, like, why? Why are you doing
yes, that? Yes,
that was not good. So none of these matches we watched this time made it into your top?
I could check real quick. I know.
It's all right.
Pillman Liger was 40.
Oh, okay.
Pillman. Wait, what was the first?
Okay, let's keep it moving. Move along, Betty. Come on.
And then, yeah. Oh, the Ric Flair Brian Pillman match also made it
at
55.
Oh, okay.
I did not remember that. Alright, so then, as 92 comes to a close, he's kind of starting to feel pretty stale as just the good guy in his nice little Bengal tights.
Oh, yeah. Gotta play that up. Yeah.
So he starts making a bit of a change in attitude and...
So is that change, like, something he requested, or how does that usually work? Or is that just, like, the heroes or someone?
This was probably, like, a combination of the bookers and him. Especially if you're going from face to heel, usually that's something that you want to do.
Okay.
And he probably brought it up to the bookers saying, like, I'm stale, I need
something,
else. So they teamed him up with Stunning Steve Austin.
Yeah, good.
And
good tag partner.
At the time, they had no plans for them. They wanted them to just be like a nice mid-card tag team. They didn't want anything to do, and all of a sudden they started getting over.
Oh, yeah.
And the first couple of weeks they teamed up, they were in, like, mismatched tights, you know, just
okay,
in their
own
attire.
Whatever they wanted to be in, yeah.
Yeah, so then they decided, Brian Pillman talked to Austin, was like, we got to...
Coordinate.
We got to coordinate. We
got
to
match your outfits.
Got
to
get matching outfits, got to get, you know, matching necklaces, which Steve Austin still wears to this day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the necklace that you always see Austin in,
yeah.
That's... something that Brian Pillman bought him.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's nice.
There you go. It's on.
Let me see. Yeah.
That's on my
slurpee
cup.
Aww.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Big softy, Steve Austin.
Oh, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Good for him.
So eventually they do get over. They start.
Oh, they get way over.
Becoming pop. Well, becoming hated, but
right,
the right way.
Good. Yeah.
And so we watched a Clash of the Champions match of them against Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas, where they end up losing by DQ because they just start beating the crap out of them with the tag belts.
Oh, I thought those were towels.
Well, no, that was, I'm saying, before.
Oh, okay.
And then
gotcha.
that led to this rematch, which we watched.
That's the one, yeah, we watched the one with the titles for the Greatest GCW.
Right, the
GCW
match.
Right, but now, just for Brian Pillman, they used towels.
Right. Yeah, well, their thing, they bring the towel to the ring to towel themselves off because they're Hollywood stars.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's right, obviously.
And if they just happen to have them to choke someone out with, I mean, I guess they'd use them.
Only when the ref isn't looking.
Well, yeah.
That only works in the tag matches. It's a lot easier to pull shenanigans in tag matches.
Right, or if you have a manager.
That's true. There's someone extra involved.
Right, yeah, obviously.
Well, yeah,
you need someone to distract the referee.
Right. Yeah, good point. It's pretty obvious. But yeah, lots of big moves from Steve Austin and a lot of chops all around. And yeah, then, what I say? Oh yeah, Austin accidentally jumps on Brian Pillman. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And then Steve and Brian, they win with the towels.
Yep.
Dirty win. And everyone's going, boo, boo.
Yes.
Yeah, doing their job. Oh, and this is afterwards. So when did they go on Ric Flair's fake show? So that's what we
that
watched.
Was after this.
Like, right after this? The same night?
No,
okay, should we... That's anything more about the match, then?
I mean, it's a really good match. These teams have lots of matches with each other, and all of them were, like, a minimum of, like, a great match, basically.
Gotcha,
They were just plugged in to...
They were.
They could go out and they have a 20-minute match, no problem.
Is Shane Douglas going to be in our tour?
No.
Okay, so
this is pretty much the highlight of his W. Like,
gotcha.
This is...
He's a Donatello in this for something?
Yeah, I wouldn't even give him that much credit.
Oh, wow, okay. He's like a foot soldier?
Yes, I would say. he's a foot. He just happens to be there.
Okay, yeah. That's true. I guess when I look at the notes of everyone, like, moves, it's never really him.
Right, I mean, it's... He's teaming with Ricky Steamboat, so he just kind of has to be competent pro wrestler.
Body. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, they couldn't find a better partner for Ricky Steamboat?
I mean, it made sense, like, this, you know, he wasn't a rookie, but, like, upcomer
gotcha.
Guy. So, yeah, so after that, we went to, a couple weeks later, I'm Flair for the Gold, which is Ric Flair's talk show, obviously.
Why is it called that?
Well, because he's Ric Flair. Flair with the gold.
Say Flair with gold or Flair for the gold?
Flair for the gold.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I know, Flair with gold.
Want to Google it?
It's Flair for the gold, I'm pretty sure.
Flair, like the Olympics?
Flair for the gold, yeah, the segment.
All right, Flair for the gold.
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense. Like, I have like a Flair for...
Yeah, and you're talking to Ric Flair.
I don't know the gold.
The gold is Ric Flair because he's the
champ.
Why
is he the gold?
Because he was always the champ.
Oh, am I the only one that doesn't get that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, all right.
So they get on there, and they're talking about the next pay-per-view, which is Slamboree, and the big thing with Slamboree was they'd have the Legends reunion. So Steve Austin and Brian Pillman start making fun of that because they talk about how Ric Flair and Arn Anderson are old.
Oh, yeah. They lay that on pretty thick.
Yes, well, including Steve Austin complimenting Ric Flair on his nice statue over there, which Brian Pillman lets him know that's actually Arn Anderson.
Yes, that was funny.
The best part is Arn Anderson looking behind him to see what statue they're talking about.
So something like that, how scripted would that be?
With the guys in it, probably not very scripted. Probably like they probably were like, all right, go out there, make fun of Flair for being older, and eventually you guys are going to start yelling at each other and getting in a pull apart.
Well, I'm sure they knew that regardless.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that was...
Right, that's kind of how...
All the direction, though, that they would...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, I am impressed when I hear something like that, because I feel like that would be hard to really pull that off. Well, it's for them, it's part of their
skill. Also, like, again, not just the matches, but the promos are, like, the best of the best. Like,
gotcha.
There were plenty of other ones like this that were horrible and, you know, acted by guys who needed everything scripted for them and couldn't.
Like when the British Bulldog was like, fell on
a fucking ass. Yeah, fell on his fucking ass. I knew it. I knew it. I fell on his fucking ass.
Yeah, that one was a hot mess.
Yeah, with Sid just continuing to scream the whole time as poor Fred Ottman puts on his stormtrooper helmet and talks with his distorted voice.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay, not what I'm talking about. Yeah, there are times fair enough.
Oh, man. There are times when it probably should be scripted and...
Right, yeah. I guess it could probably depend on who your players
are. Right, exactly.
What direction you want to give them. But basically, it ends with them all getting each other's faces.
Right.
And then blondes get the cheap age jokes in. Cheap right. Shots.
And then I tried to find them, but they're not on the Peacock yet. There were some segments of Flair with the Old.
Oh.
And it was Brian Pillman dressed as Ric Flair. He basically had a mop handle, or like a mop top on his head, a gray mop top, and like had a big fat maid with him. And Austin was just like giving interviews with him where he'd like make fun of him the whole time. And eventually Arn Anderson came out and fought them.
Nice. Okay, we'll have to watch that once it goes back. So what's the like schedule for the Peacock getting all the content on?
I mean, they really, it's been pretty scattered. It's their main thing what they said was by SummerSlam.
Okay, so they don't want to get too much specifics.
Yeah, they just...
All right.
As they get there.
Well, we can circle back to that.
Yeah. So then, next we get to the big Clash of the Champions match between the Hollywood Blondes and Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that, like, camera thing the whole time. They're really playing up.
Yes, that's their...
Well, that's the first time I'd seen them do that.
Yeah, they probably weren't doing it before and when they won tag titles yet.
Doing a little roll camera motion.
Right.
Just taunting them.
And as they note, this is Ric Flair's first match in WCW in just about 2 years.
Yeah, people were pumped for this one.
Yeah, because he left for WWF in 1991, and then he came back in February, but he had some sort of no-compete clause where he could appear in WCW, but he couldn't wrestle
there.
So once that was up, then they decided to make it this big match.
Big to-do.
Well, let's talk about the match first. We'll talk about the after effects.
Well, yeah, I mainly talked about how it was a very unsatisfactory ending. It started out good and relatively clean and, once again, got them good combos, and then it just kind of started to fall apart. And then Barry Windham runs out and gets the Hollywood Blondes disqualified, so...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so not my favorite.
Ric Flair gets the first fall.
That's right, yeah. It's 2 out of 3.
Right. And then, in the second fall, which, although you did say, well, I'm sure the Blondes are going to win the next fall.
I did say that.
Yeah, so...
That was not right.
It does not 2-0, but not the satisfying way.
No, this one was just okay. Why did they play it like that?
Well, it was kind of like they didn't want the Hollywood Blondes to lose the tag titles yet. They didn't want Ric Flair to lose in his comeback.
Okay.
But they were setting it up for Paul Roman and Arn Anderson, who was the little guy that came in at the end in his suit.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to fight the Hollywood Blondes at the next pay-per-view. So you don't want Arn Anderson losing because then...
Why'd they have him wrestle? They don't want him to lose.
Well, because you got to have big matches still.
All right. Yeah, okay. Okay. Fair enough.
So the thing about this was, it being Ric Flair's big comeback, they did it on Clash of the Champions, which was like their quarterly special, and they expected a big rating. They did not get a big rating, and they decided to blame the Hollywood Blondes. Which is kind of interesting, yeah. But you had just signed Ric Flair back, so you weren't going to blame him.
Right.
So then they... So they had this match at the next pay-per-view where it was Arn Anderson and Paul Roma against the Hollywood Blondes. And that also ends in DQ.
Oh,
which was confusing because people in the know, they were doing these Disney tapings at the time.
Okay.
Where they take 3 months of TV in advance.
Okay.
And they had already had footage of Arn Anderson and Paul Roma as tag champs.
Mm.
So people were like, well, what's going on? Because we know they're going to win the match, the tag titles eventually. So then they were going to have another Clash of the Champions. And this time, though, Brian Pillman got injured beforehand. Oh. And they needed to get the tag titles on Arn Anderson and Paul Roma because the footage of them started airing soon.
Oh, okay.
So they subbed in Steven Regal. And it was Steven Regal and Steve Austin. They lose the tag titles. And that's the end of the Hollywood Blondes.
Oh, that's anticlimactic.
Yes, exactly. That's, so this team that was like...
Super popular.
The best tag team for 6 months.
Right.
Doesn't even get a proper ending.
Very WCW. Okay.
It is very, very WCW, yes. All right, we will take a short break right here. And we'll be back.
Don't be like WCW.
All right, real quick, want to tell you about all the other things going on at the Place to Be. So make sure to check out the new PTB Wrestling Network store and show off your favorite podcast logo on great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Just go to www.tpublic.com and type PTBW in the search.
Marty Sleaze concludes his countdown of the 25 best WWF matches from 1988 to 1997 with the newest episode of Pro Wrestling Love.
And the premiere episode of YouTube Roulette, Sean, Logan, Jake, and Scott go to YouTube once a month where they spin the wheel and live watch 4 matches, a show randomly found on YouTube so you at home can follow along.
Well, that's fun. On the newest NWA Saturday special, Scott and Dr. G recap the latest episode of NWA Power, including some, flaws with the show.
On the newest main event, Scott and Steve talk wrestling news from around the world and preview WrestleMania Backlash.
On the newest PTB NXT, ooh, I like that, Jenny, Tim, and Jake discuss NXT TakeOver Fatal 4-Way.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. Check out the other feeds on our quad of pods.
The PTB Pop Experience is all about pop culture. We have the best in TV, movies, comics, trivia shows, and so much more.
Jenny Smith is always in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great shows ranging from movies, books, Marvel, and more.
Join JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell for great shows on wrestling, comics, and more with the North-South Connection feed. Check out the histories of WWE, TNA, and other great wrestling topics and takes.
Also, Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, nontoxicfanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Join our rejuvenated Place to Be Nation, Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture.
Our 2021 stretch project is determining the greatest NWA WCW wrestler of all time. Go to facebook.com/GWCW and join the group to discuss nominees.
Be sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, Paul's Perspective, and Matt's Disney live-action journey.
And if you're doing online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you.
While you're there, pick up a copy of longtime listener Adrian Cotton's second book, AWO, Big Time Players, Episode 2, Continuing to Grow. It's a vivid description of the second episode of the Alpha Wrestling Organization's program, Big Time Players, and it's available on ebook and a paperback. You can get both episodes, 1 and 2, in paperback form for $15.98. And now let's go back to the show. So our next match was Brian Pillman versus Johnny B. Bad from Fall Brawl 1995.
Yeah, hang on. So they just decided to unceremoniously stop.
Yes.
Hollywood Blonde. So then what did they just do next with both of them?
So Steve Austin did get paired with Colonel Robert Parker, guy in all white.
Yeah, him? Why?
Yeah, because they thought he couldn't talk.
Steve Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's Steve Austin.
Another WCW move.
Yes, they thought he was unmarketable and couldn't talk, so...
Wow.
They had him go with him for a while. And I mean, he did win the U.S. title, so he was at least still pushed. Brian Pillman kind of... So, they broke up, and Austin stayed heel, and Pillman turned face.
Okay.
And they kind of feuded for a little bit, but by, like, February, they were... not even working with each other anymore. And yeah, Brian Pillman basically just disappears from WCW, like, main shows. I don't think he's on pay-per-view for most of 94 and 95.
Huh.
And this was when the company itself was changing a lot because Hulk Hogan came in. So, and with Hulk Hogan comes, like,
a lot of
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Nasty Boys, like, all the old 80s
WWF stars. I was going to say, a lot of runoff.
So he is, pushed very far down the bench,
gotcha.
As it were.
Gotcha.
And, 94, most of 95, he's kind of a background player at best.
Oh. Well, that's not very good.
Yeah. So we get to Fall Brawl. Yeah. And he's...
1995.
It's a number one contendership for the United States title. So he's kind of back up to mid-card at least.
Here. Okay, yep.
And he had kind of been doing this thing where he was called himself, like, California Brian, and he was like, blondes have more fun.
Hmm.
And there's rumors at the time that they were thinking of maybe reuniting the Hollywood Blondes, but by this time, Steve Austin had been fired.
Oh, okay.
So, like...
Why was he fired?
He got injured, and, like, there was conflicting reports between him and... the WCW doctor about how bad he was injured. So he kind of just didn't want to show up to TV the one time, so they fired him.
Gotcha.
Because also they kind of felt he was unmarketable, and a guy like Steve Austin wearing black tights would never make any money.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
Well,
never make any money, just make all the money.
Yeah, seriously. Well, that's a whole different topic. But back to Brian Pillman. He shows up looking a little edgier. His perm's not as
tight. Yeah,
his curls are relaxed a little bit. Much better look, in my opinion. I was digging this Brian Pillman much better than the curly mullet. But versus someone, Johnny B. Bad.
Yes.
And they're still mentioning the NFL.
Of course.
Obviously. Oh, this is the match. So can you explain that someone had to be a winner?
Yes.
Because the board of directors said
someone
has to win this match.
It goes the 20-minute time limit, which... They had to be a winner. I don't know why they had a time limit to start with.
Well, so they'd have double overtime.
Of course. So, so within 30 seconds of the match ending, the referee tells Michael Buffer, and of course Michael Buffer understands right away that, according to the WCW Board of Directors, this match must have a winner.
Right.
So it is now in sudden death.
It's been authorized. The Board of Directors has authorized
this match. It's authorized the sudden death.
Yes.
And sudden death just means it's a regular match.
More matches, more wrestling. I'm trying to think. I just know, like, Johnny B. Bad gave him that, like, weird surfboard thing. They said it's slow burn. It was a long match. They definitely, at the end, you could tell they were tired. They weren't hitting the moves as cleanly. I'm sure they were like, shit, this is going into overtime.
Not double overtime.
Yeah, well, though this is the one there was a lot of countouts. A lot of drama.
Yeah, outside the ring, yeah.
Yeah, outside the ring and even inside the ring. I feel like there was a lot of...
Oh, like double...
Yeah, a lot of two counts. Is that the way to say it?
Yeah.
Lots of two counts, yeah. Yeah, Brian gets thrown to the barricade, which looked... Oof. awful.
Oh, yeah. He, like, lands on it with his throat.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Johnny B. Badd ends up winning.
Yep. It's another...
They're kind of like Flashpin almost, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a... It was another, like, cross-body reversal sort of thing. Yeah, and this was one of those ones that I saw a lot, I think.
Really?
I think this was at the period where Nick and Matt would get a pay-per-view, and then, like, the next week we'd watch it, and for some reason the tape got left at my house. So this is, like, the one WCW pay-per-view I had for a long time growing up. And I'd, like, watch this match because it was the opening match. And then I'd kind of... There was a lot of crap in the rest of the match, so yeah. I kind of always would lose focus. But this match I saw a lot and always liked and still like.
I was going to ask why you picked this, and now I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the tape got left at your house one day. It's a good enough reason for anything.
There's this match, and then later in the card, it's Ric Flair versus Arn Anderson for the first time ever, the two
best friends. Really?
And Brian Pillman, they show, like, a bunch of wrestlers in the crowd. Like, they all want to watch it and see what happens.
Okay.
And during it, at the very end, Brian Pillman jumps out of the crowd and kicks Ric Flair in the head.
Oh.
And he falls right into an Arn Anderson DDT. So Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman start teaming up, and they start, like, they're the new Four Horsemen.
Oh.
And then Ric Flair recruits Sting to be his partner, and Sting says, like, if you turn on me, I'm going to kill you and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So then Ric Flair even has the little kids dressed as Stingers come and make him decide to team with him. And then at Halloween Havoc, it's Ric Flair and Sting versus Brian Pillman and Arn Anderson.
Oh.
And... Oh no, Sting or Ric Flair's attacked before the match and can't participate.
Obviously.
He comes out in street clothes all bandaged up, and Sting fights off Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman, makes the tag, and Ric Flair comes in and immediately just starts beating up Sting.
Of course.
So that's the new Four Horsemen.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then, so Brian Pillman starts acting kind of crazy here.
Yeah, he did kind of, like I said, he kind of went all Dean Ambrose.
Yes, which is funny you mention that, because about 5 or 6 years ago, with the figure releases, they had a two-pack of Dean Ambrose and Brian Pillman.
Nice.
So,
did you get that?
No, I didn't.
Well, have to keep an eye out for it.
That was nice thing. You saw what Dean Ambrose was going for.
I did.
20 years later.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so now I feel bad. I said he had a weird shouty voice, because that's probably because of all his throat surgeries.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you say it when I
thought you...
I did not know that. No, I did not know he had throat surgery.
No, I mean, it's...
I feel bad saying it. It's weird, like, voice now.
Well, it was like something that stood out for him. It probably worked in his favor.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. But yeah, he had... he was pretty good on the mic.
Cause
he kind of talked up his... The Four Horsemen. I don't even remember what he said. He just kind of talked about smack.
We watched the one interview where he talks about how everyone wanted to join the Four Horsemen, but only the elite are chosen. And then Paul Orndorff comes out and starts yelling at him, and then he slaps him, so then the horsemen attack him and give him a double pile driver on the floor, which ended up actually ending his career.
Really?
Well, it was kind of like his career was, like, basically over, so this was, like, the way they kind of wrote him out.
Gotcha. So you can kill off a character on a soap opera?
Right.
And, of course, Ric Flair had to help by pushing the feet.
Well, that makes it so much more.
His feet. Yes.
Yeah, that forces his head down further.
Yes. Oh, we forgot to mention that when this Hollywood Blonde match, when Frank had the figure four, Steve Austin pushed up.
Yeah, if he had the Boston Crab on, he'd push his head, which would give you so much more leverage that it almost ended the match right away. I mean, that tremendous amount of pressure.
Obviously. That's how just how physics works.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just science. So... Okay, then with the late Brian Pillman's 1996 versus Eddie Guerrero.
And this is, like, this would be like his about 3 weeks left in WCW.
Oh, wow.
Point.
Okay.
So, yeah, so this match, the match itself is only about 8 minutes, but the thing that's notable about it.
Bobby Heenan.
Yes.
Drops an F-bomb.
Yeah, so the start, it's a lot of stalling. Brian Pillman keeps rolling out of the ring. And once he even goes over and, like, pushes Tony Schiavone, and, like, so the announcers are like, we don't know what this guy's doing, he's crazy. And then he rolls out of the ring,
and like goes behind them and starts pulling at Bobby Heenan's jacket, and Heenan gets up and says, "What the fuck are you doing?" and like walks off, and he was legitimately pissed off because he did not, and like he had had neck surgery.
Oh, okay.
2 years, like he had neck problems in the early 90s. That's why he became an announcer instead of a manager.
Gotcha.
And once he had the neck surgery, he was like very cautious about anyone touching him.
Yeah, as in general, especially if you don't truly don't know what he's going to do.
Right, yeah.
Somewhat natural. Definitely a natural reaction.
Yes.
Unscripted.
So the match itself, it's good. I wish they had a longer match at some point because the two of them could really do something
would be
pretty
cool.
good, I think, but... This is more just the storyline of, you know, he's crazy. We don't know what he's going to do.
All right, the loose cannon.
And he does get the win, though, which was kind of surprising. But.
Yeah, good physical match. He wins at another weird crossbody roll-up thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like they both went for it, and he just happened to land on top.
Right.
So then, after this, he was in a feud with Kevin Sullivan, and they have a match at the pay-per-view.
Who's Kevin Sullivan?
He's the short guy who was the head of the Dungeon of Doom. He was always feuding with Hulk Hogan, and he was also the main booker of WCW.
Hmm.
So they're having a strap match where you whip each other with...
Oh, yeah, I know.
We had the Vader Sting match. And like 20 seconds into the... Like a minute in the match, Brian Pillman takes the microphone and says, "I respect you, Booker Man," and just walks off.
Hmm. I don't recognize. I just Googled his picture.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't watched much with him.
People also search for Brian Pillman.
Yeah, makes sense.
Nancy Benoit, Chris Benoit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was married to Nancy before. And that's a whole other thing where he basically booked his own divorce.
Oh.
And, like, wanted there to be a storyline of Chris Benoit stealing her away from him. And then they actually did fall for each other.
Was it art? Life imitating art?
Yes.
Imitating life. Gotcha.
So then, Brian Pillman... So, I think you might have saw a little bit of this on the documentary I was watching.
Oh, yeah.
So he basically went to Eric Bischoff and said, if we want to make this more than... If we want everyone to actually believe that I'm actually not working for you, we need to get an actual release from WCW.
Gotcha.
And Eric Bischoff was like, yeah, that sounds good. Like, he didn't think anything of it.
He didn't think the whole thing through. Like, sure, this would be part of the whole kind of play.
And so they did that, and Brian Pillman shows up in ECW a few times. Like, always is, like, a total shock.
Gotcha.
And still playing up this character where he's crazy. And then he was trying to get... like WCW and WWF in a bidding war over him.
Gotcha.
And he was going to go with WCW, but then he got in a horrible Humvee accident where his face was like completely crushed in. His ankle was so bad that they had to like fuse bone together and stuff. So WCW was offering him more money, but they had all their contracts had a policy where for 90 days, if you don't wrestle, it could be
voided.
So, and WWF was offering, like, one without that.
Gotcha.
So, he knew he wouldn't, in 90 days, he wasn't going to be able to wrestle. So, he signed with WWF. And then, he went there, and he was kind of doing the same thing, like, the loose cannon. But it took him forever to be able to wrestle.
How did he get in a Humvee accident?
He was just driving, and they think he fell asleep
at the
wheel. And he actually said not wearing his seatbelt saved his life, because he went through, like, the convertible... top, whereas, and like flew out, but then the car flipped over four times and was completely totaled.
Jeez. Well, yeah, that's not.
Yeah. So then his ankle's not getting better. They have Steve Austin re-break his ankle on TV.
Oh, jeez.
Like where he puts the chair around his leg and jumps on it.
Okay, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, and to this day it's called Pillmanizing someone, so. He's got that named after him.
There you go, getting your ankle rebroken.
And then, but during this...
So he'd be legitimately out.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And then they have the next week they had a thing where Steve Austin tries to break into Brian Pillman's house, and Brian Pillman has a gun.
Oh, wow, that got real.
Yeah. So then, after that, though, eventually he comes back, but he's on a bunch of painkillers, and, like, everyone is noticing this. They keep trying to send him to rehab. He doesn't want to go.
So he's addicted to opioids now.
Yeah. And then
very Ohio story.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So then they had a pay-per-view in October of 97, and they had a show in Minnesota the night before. The show was in St. Louis. Like, 3 hours before the show, they realized everyone was there except Brian Pillman. They called the hotel. He was dead in the hotel room.
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
Overdose?
No, it was just a heart.
Oh.
Like a heart attack, but it was
kind of induced
by it. It was induced by that, basically.
A lot of other things that were, a lot of their problems.
Right.
So that was you could put on that the certificate.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he only ended up having, like, probably 20 matches with the WWF in the year plus he was there. All right, but
that's kind of a downer note to end on.
Yeah, well, most...
That's true.
Most wrestling stories, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, Dusty Rhodes had a long and fulfilling life after. Good life.
Yes,
his
that's true.
His playing career, he didn't... I know he died, but that was just like old age.
Yeah, he was
70
years old.
He's only 70?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess for wrestling, that's really...
Yeah, that's pretty old for... Especially, like... He rode the territory, you know, the territory trails and whatnot.
Right.
All right. But, let's...
Yeah, you gotta remind me in the ranking and how this...
Right. Yeah, let me
so it's out of 10, right? Each
yes.
category? And these categories are not very intuitive to me, so sorry.
That's all right. All right, so the first is N, which is nuance. So that's longevity, flexibility, and intangibles.
Okay.
So could he work heel and face? He was in WCW pretty much for 6 years, I would say.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Well, let's do them all. And then
all right.
Jump up factor.
Jump up is memorable peak matches, moments, and storylines.
I think he gets a good high grade for that,
yep.
Or high score for that.
Promo skills and character work. And then work rate.
What's work rate again?
Just like the actual bell-to-bell matches.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'm going to give him, work rate, I'm going to give him an 8. I think he does a really good job.
Yeah, I was going to say 8 or 9. Or no, 8.
Yeah, really physical, like knows his stuff, good wrestler. Oh, okay. Oh, you can do half scores? And
yeah,
then,
sure.
Can you go back? And the other one I think that kind of jumped out for me, gave him a high score with the jump up factor.
Okay, yeah.
A lot of good. I mean, those the olds and.
And then, I said, like 91 War Games. He's in
oh,
match,
God, that's right.
So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's give him a 7 for that for me.
No, I'll go 7.5.
You okay? And then promos. I mean, he did okay. He did do good. I guess
right.
It's kind of hard because we watched Dusty Rhodes.
Right. Yeah.
Not as good as Dusty Rhodes, but still passable. And like you said, we're watching the best of the best. We're not watching the British Bulldog. Like I'm going to give him a 6.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'll go 6 also.
Okay, then you go first.
For nuance.
I'm at a half point to whatever you get.
He was there 6 years, which is, pretty good. He could play face or heel, both pretty convincingly. And, like, intangibles, I think most of the time, if he's face or heel, he's getting a big reaction one way or the other. So I'm going to give him an 8, I think, in nuance.
I'll give him a 7.5.
Oh.
No, I pretty much agree with everything you said. All right.
All right.
Some high ratings.
Yeah. So 15.
Just do equal sum and drag to cross.
How do you do that?
Okay, so hit the equal sign. We're doing a Google Sheets, then SUM, and then open parentheses, and then take the mouse and drag it over those four fields, and then do close parentheses, enter. There you go.
Oh.
And then, you could have auto-filled it, but you can do it again.
You
have to share this with me.
Equals.
And then SC1.
Sum.
Nope. There you go. Just drag it across. There you go.
Oh.
That's all right. If it's smart enough to know
okay.
I knew what you were doing.
All right. So we have
a 28.5 for Cindy and a 29 for me.
So you did higher than both Dusty Rhodes?
You have
a 25.
Yeah. I think we might have...
Yeah, we might have to kind of revisit it at the end.
Yeah, I think...
His work rate was very low.
It was low. I think we might have gypped him a little bit on that, though.
Yeah, now that I'm looking at it, do we really think he had more nuance than Brian Pillman? We'll have to calibrate this as we go.
Yeah, I think this is something as we go, we'll see.
We'll have to recalibrate.
How they exactly work up.
Yeah.
I remember both of us saying, well, for Dusty Rhodes, work rate is the lowest, but...
Right, but maybe we'll have, like I said, we'll have to go back and recalibrate. So, all right.
All right, good stuff. That is it. And next month, there's a couple. I have the next 3 months planned out, but I'm not sure which wrestler we're going to do each month.
Okay, so it'll be a surprise to everybody?
Yes, except you now, since you just shared your...
Oh, I'm not going to... Well, whatever.
All right. So, yeah, though. So, as of right now, we have Ryan Coleman as our greatest WCW wrestler of all time.
Well, can you maybe tease the next three are?
Yeah. So, it's going to be some combination of Sting, Vader, and Cactus Jack.
Nice.
And the only thing I'm trying to work out is, in the Cactus Jack bucket, there's a Sting match. In the Vader bucket, there's a Cactus Jack match. So, I want to kind of figure out the best way to do it where...
Okay, yeah.
The last person we judge, we could also judge
their
matches from other categories also.
I gotcha. You're a big Vader fan.
I
always like Vader so much.
Yeah.
I don't know if I get it.
Big fat guy. Just beats people up.
And he's an episode. He's got a SAG card.
Yes. Yes. Maybe it was my love of Boy Meets World. Just
really solidified it.
Yeah. All right. That's it for now. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.